I don't know, we have people start struggling in about 10.
Like we're probably.
Was traffic back coming down?
Yeah.
Finally light for, they, I think.
Good evening, everybody. What a wonderful day before Thanksgiving, and what a lot that we have to be thankful for. We're going to start off with number 381, is You're All on the Altar.
Bye.
Father, we enter into your presence being reminded that this week, tomorrow, Lord, is a day of thanksgiving. And Lord, as we look back through time and through history, we know that we have so much to be thankful for. We live in a country that is free, that we can come and we can worship you and praise your holy name and not have to worry about being hunted down or shut up. And we have a place, Lord, that you have given to us, and people that you have brought together to hear and to praise your holy name. And I pray, O Lord, that you bless each and every one of us to draw us closer to you, to fill our lives with your word and with your spirit, to encourage us to walk by faith and not by sight. And we pray that you be with our pastor and Raquel as they are in Oregon, to bless them and encourage them and strengthen them in you, and return them here strengthened and energized, ready to serve in the ministry. And Lord, we give all of ourselves to you and pray for your divine and holy guidance. In Jesus' name, amen. So being the day before Thanksgiving, we do have a, you know, it is Wednesday, we do have the prayer list in the back if you want the information. We won't really be going through it like we normally do. We're going to do a little few things differently. But I do want to bring up a couple of things that are on the prayer list. One is, in case you haven't noticed, my wife is not here tonight. She's with her mother in San Jose trying to figure out how all this medical stuff is going to be done and how to get her home. They're trying to see if my wife's trying to see if they can get her home tonight. There's no surgery planned. There's no blockage with the kidney, and they're just scratching their head going, what's up? They did take a biopsy, and they're supposed to have the results back probably today or tomorrow. And so they're going to figure out how exactly to treat it. I don't know if they've got the results, because it's something they've got her, put her on some heavy-duty medications. They're going to try and get her on and see if they can get things taken care of. So let's just keep that up in prayer. I'm not pastor, so that means he's not here. He's in Oregon. Friday, he got up, and when I talked to him, and it was like, man, he hasn't felt that good in a long time. But we still have to pray for him and hold him up in prayer, because with all the antibiotics that he's on, they're getting the infection out, but his immune system is sort of flaky. So he's got to be careful. And we just got to hold him up in prayer. And when he gets back, starting around the 29th, they're going to try and reverse the process and try and put the bacteria back in so it'll build up his immune system, and so now he can function better. So they kill it all off, and now they got to bring back some of the good stuff. So let's pray for his recovery and strength. We do have other lists and items going on here, but those are a couple things I wanted to touch on and bring you up to date on. Do we have another suggestion, or you want to go up? Okay, we're going to be daring tonight. So, if you have a song you would like to sing, yes, Alanita. 18. And Law says if she can't play it, you get to.
Thank you.
issue that once I start singing, my cough comes back. So you'll pardon me for not singing. I know there's an applause from some of you, but hey, it's the way it is. It's great to have our college kids back. Candace came back last night. And Maria came back when?
Last Friday.
Last Friday. Ah, so she's been here a while longer. She's got some catching up to do. What else do we have? Yes, Anthony.
27.
I sing the mighty power of God. Reminds me of one of the Psalms that David is talking about. Where can I go and get away from your presence? Can I go into the depths of hell? Nope. Can I go hide in a jungle someplace? Nope. There's no place you can go to escape God. Yes, sir, Andrew. 455. So if we don't know this one, she can't play it. You get to, all right? Is that good? Time for one more. Yes, sir. 37? 37. She doesn't know how to play it. You have to.
Consider all
So Thanksgiving would not be Thanksgiving without a time of thanks. So I want to open it up a time for you to express or to explain or to share. What are you thankful for? Who would like to share with us today? Yes, Mom.
I'm thankful for the church.
Thankful for the church. What else? What else are people thankful for?
Thankful for the family.
All right. Anything else?
Thankful for salvation through Jesus Christ. Salvation. I think that's the most important thing, you know, in life.
And that's the starting place. Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And, you know, Darlene and I were talking yesterday about the victims of Katrina, you know, and as we were shopping, you know, here we have our grocery store and everything's there, and it's so easy, and we go back to our houses, and, you know, and there are people in the country and all over the world, you know, that their Thanksgiving tomorrow, they're not going to have much, you know, their family's gone, some of their family's gone, their home's gone, you know, and so we were thinking, you know, we can't forget about these people because, you know, we've still got a lot to go.
Yeah, a lot of out there in the world. A lot of things people
don't have that we take for granted here. Okay. Anything else? Anyone else want to share about their being thankful? Okay. So one of the things I'm thankful for is that we have the very Word of God. And with that Word, we can begin to get a glimpse just a glimpse of the awesome God that formed us, that created us, that calls us by his name, that lifts us up, and shows us how and where to go. What an awesome God that we have. Well, we've got some special music for you tonight. We have a special duet. You guys want to come on up? The Noriones. That is a precious gift to have, be able to exercise the gifts that God has given you, to share it with others, and to just show the love of Christ. Well, let's turn to Colossians chapter 1. We're going to have our brother Joe read the scriptures for us. Colossians chapter 1. Is that okay with you?
Hey, this is Colossians chapter 1, verses 9 through 18. For this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that ye might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that ye might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear Son, in whom we have redemption through his blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by him were all things created that are in heaven and that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created by him and for him. And he is before all things, and by him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he might have the preeminence. Blessed is the word of God.
Thank you, Joe. Before Before we begin, let's enter into a word of prayer. Father, we enter into your presence and again, Lord, and praise you and thank you for you are God. It is your love that has brought us up. It is your love that fills us and dwells within us, that teaches us all things, O Lord. And I pray that you help us to walk by that Spirit and to love you and cherish you. And may the words that are here this evening are not mine, but yours. And that it will strengthen people to draw closer to you and to walk worthy of the calling of the Lord. In Jesus' name, amen. You know, tomorrow we're celebrating Thanksgiving. And for, you know, Pastor had talked about it before. It was, you know, first in the 1620s that there was a day of Thanksgiving. They didn't call it a holiday or a special feast because those were separate, but it was just a feast day. A day of Thanksgiving, a day of praise and prayer unto God. From time to time, it would be repeated. And Abraham Lincoln made a decree. George Washington made a decree for a national day of Thanksgiving throughout. It had been off and on. In 1941, Congress itself said, we're going to have a national day of Thanksgiving. And it's going to be the fourth Thursday of November. From here on out, until it's canceled by another decree of some sort. And so we have Thanksgiving. And so, legitimately, we have to think of two things that we have to question. What are we thankful for? And to who are we thankful? We're going to be looking at those questions here in this text. Who are we thankful for, thankful to, and for what? So as we look at verses 9 through 11, we've got a picture of Colossians pointing to us and says, this is what you got. This is what you have received. Verse 9, Paul is saying, for this cause we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and to desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to the glorious power unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. So this is what we get. So there's a couple of things I want to point out that what we get here. One is we get the knowledge of his will. We don't just look out there and say, yeah, there's a God out there somewhere. But we have a God who intervenes in the affairs of men and says, you know what, Victor, I've got a job for you to do. And you get to turn to God and say, what would you like me to do, Lord? What is your will for me? So he says here, we desire, this is our prayer, we desire that you might be filled with the knowledge of his will. Not just having an inkling, but filled with it. Desire. So how do we figure out what the will is? Do we reach in our pockets, pull out a coin and say, left or right, Lord? How do we figure out the will of God? How do we begin the process of understanding what God has in mind for us? Let's go over to Romans chapter 12. Verses 1 and 2. This is the process by which we can begin to understand what the will of God is for you. It says, I beseech you, therefore, brethren, by the mercies of God, that you present your bodies a living sacrifice, holy, acceptable unto God, which is your reasonable service. And be not conformed to this world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of your mind, that you may prove what is that good and acceptable and perfect will of God. God's will for you is good. It's not evil, it's not bad, it's not going to destroy you, but it's good. It's acceptable. You know, it's, you like it. Sometimes you don't like the process of getting there, but you like the will of God. It's acceptable. It's pleasing to God. And he's overjoyed with you fulfilling his will. And the will of God is perfect. He doesn't sit there and say, you know what, Al, I want you to do this. Oh, man, why'd I have you do that? Boy, that was dumb. And then have you say, no, I'm going to have you go over here. Do we sometimes get that view, that thought? Well, God, I'm following you. And so you go one way. Well, that didn't work out. So, God, your will was messed up. Then try this way. Okay? But also, how do we figure this out? How do we know what the good, acceptable, and perfect will of God is? Scriptures tell us, be not conformed to the world, but be ye transformed by the renewing of the mind. You know, Pastor likes his verse in those little robots, transformers. You know, the scriptures tell us that, you know what, we are being conformed. But we're being conformed to the image of Christ. And so that takes a major transformation. If you ever sit back and you think about it, here I am. There Christ is. I have to move from here to there. But you know what's wonderful? You're going to get there. Because that's the will of God. But you start with the renewing of your mind, which means you've got to get in the scriptures. You've got to get the Word of God into you. And you're not going to get the Word of God into you by just tuning in your radio to some preacher. You're not going to get the Word of God into you by turning the radio onto KGO and hear the latest news talk. You're not going to get the Word of God in you by opening up the Mercury News and going, wow. You get the Word of God in you by getting in the Word of God. No shortcuts. Years ago, I would listen to pastors and people talk and say, man, they know a lot of scripture. Because they're not going through. You ask them a question and say, well, turn to Romans 5:8. What's that say? You know, they're just going off the top of their head. How's that happen? Time. In 96, I was in a traffic accident. Put me on a train. What are you going to do for 2.5 hours a day? Read the Word. And the Word begins to stick in you and come in you. So he tells us that we got to be thankful and we got to live a life of thanks by being in the Word of God, by knowing the will of God. It's one of his desires. But he also says in verse 10 that this is also what Paul says, that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing. Walking worthy of the Lord. Is that a high call? Or is that a piece of cake? You know, hey, I got up, I signed the piece of paper that says I'm a member of Bethel Baptist Church. Signed, sealed, and delivered. All done. No. He says, might walk worthy of the Lord. The worth of God is high. The value of Christ is enormous. And so one of the things that God gives us that we can be thankful for is he has given us the ability to live our life as though we're saved. We don't have to live our life like the people out there with no hope, but we get to live our life saying we have eternal life. We have salvation. So what does that mean? What does that look like? Let's go over to Romans chapter 6. Look at verses 11 to 13. Romans chapter 6. This is how you live a life and walk worthy of the calling with which Christ has called you. It says, likewise, reckon ye also yourselves to be dead indeed unto sin, but alive unto God through Jesus Christ our Lord. Let not sin therefore reign in your mortal body, that ye should obey it in the lust thereof. Neither yield ye your members as instruments of unrighteousness unto sin, but yield yourselves unto God as those that are alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness unto God. Sometimes I think back on this verse, and a lot of Christians you'll talk to and they say, yeah, I once was dead, but now I'm alive. What's this verse say? Reckon yourself dead. See, no matter who you are, you're dead. You're either dead in sin or you're dead from sin. But either way. But when you are dead from sin and you consider yourselves dead from sin, sin has no power over you, has no capability to destroy you because you are in the hands of God. So he says, reckon yourselves dead to sin. Don't let it dominate you. Don't let it control you. But one of the things you have to do is you have to know what it is. If you don't know what sin is, then you can't reckon yourself dead to it. But we get to thank God that we are dead to sin. Sin does not need, is not a requirement to reign in these bodies. Is sin still a part of our lives? You bet. All you have to do, if you want to see a sinner, is look in the mirror. And you'll be reminded every day as you look into the mirror, in your own mirror, the mirror of your soul, the mirror of the scriptures, and you see yourself there, you'll say, God, why did you save me? Look at me. And all God can say is, because I love you. That's it. Nothing magical on your part. God saves because he loves. But we have the ability to live a saved life. Sin does not have to dominate and control us. Sure, it likes to, you know, you're walking down the aisle, likes to put its foot out and trip you up. But you get to get up, dust yourself off, and keep going. With Christ by your side. So we get to give thanks for what we have. We've got the knowledge of his will. We've got the ability to live as though saved. And in verse 11, it says that in verse 10 and verse 11, we are filled with spiritual blessings. Verse 10, he says that you might walk worthy of the Lord unto all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God, strengthened with all might according to his glorious power, unto all patience and long-suffering with joyfulness. How many of you like to have your patience evaluated? How many of you like to go through periods of long-suffering? You notice it doesn't. The scriptures don't say you come to Christ and you're going to have a long life of peace, a long life of just vacation time. But you have a period and a time of long suffering. So we get a picture of some of that if we go to Galatians chapter 5. What is it that we get? Galatians 5. Verse 22 and 23 says, but the fruit of the Spirit is love. Do you love? Well, that's a tough one. Because we like to say, yep, I love. Do you really? I know there are times when I look at people, especially when you encounter some of these crazies that are out on the street, and you sort of avoid them. Do you really love? That's a tough one. Joy. Peace. Long-suffering. Gentleness. Goodness. Faith. Meekness. Temperance. Against such there is no law. These are all characters and qualities that if you're a child of God, you've been given. Because by our nature, we don't love. By our nature, we want to destroy, put ourselves first. But love is putting the other first. Love is seeing all of the bad things in someone else and saying, I don't care. Because I love you anyway. joy. Because of Christ, we can have joy in the midst of horrendous problems. You can be in the middle, you know, you could have a car accident. You could lose family members. And you could be filled, even though you may weep, you can be filled with joy, knowing that your Redeemer lives. Knowing that God is with you even in the midst of this terrible situation. Joy and happiness are not the same. Joy is looking beyond the situation. So we can get some of the things that we can give thanks for is that what we have now is the knowledge of His will, some of the things, the ability to live as though we're saved, and we get to be filled with spiritual blessings. Man, that's an awful lot to be thankful for. Because not everyone has that. Then we're going to begin looking at how we get this and who we get it from and who to give thanks to. Verses 12 and 13. Scriptures tell us, giving thanks unto the Father, which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light, who hath delivered us from the power of darkness and hath translated us into the kingdom of His dear Son. There's three things that the Father gives us. And it's not because we're such wonderful people, but because He's a merciful God. Look at what it says. Giving thanks unto the Father. Well, let's describe the Father. Which hath made us meet to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. What's that mean? He's made us worthy of eternal life. Wow. Because we're not. But He says, you know what? Your clothes are a little dirty and a little mucky, but that's okay. I'm going to give you a new suit. I'm going to make you different. Go look in Philippians chapter 3 and see what God does to us and for us. Philippians chapter 3, verses 8 through 10. Says, yea, doubtless, and I count all things but loss for the excellency of the knowledge of Christ Jesus my Lord, for whom I have suffered the loss of all things, and do count them but dung, that I may win Christ, and be found in Him, not having mine own righteousness, which is of the law, but that which is through the faith of Christ, the righteousness which is of God by faith, that I may know Him and the power of His resurrection, and the fellowship of His sufferings, being made conformable unto His death. So as we look at the scriptures, do you look at everything that you own, everything that you do, you know, your good works, your the money that you send out to organizations that are doing good Christian work, and you say, you know what, that's dung. That's just worthless in comparison to knowing God. Isaiah refers to all of our righteousness, the best works that we can come up with, the best that we can ever conceive of. He says, filthy rags, not even worthy of wiping my feet with. They're the worst of the worst rags. But here, what happens with our righteousness? He says, hey, you don't have any, but I'll give you mine. He says, not be found in mine own righteousness, which is filthy rags, but be found in His, which is by faith, which is by the faith of Christ, and the righteousness which is of God by faith. So it all comes from Him. He dresses you up and He puts you in a nice suit. A suit that He looks at and says, that's my kid. And I love him. And then He says in verse 10 that what He seeks, what Paul looks forward to, is knowing God. It says that I may know Him, the power of His resurrection. You ever think about the resurrection? What kind of power there is in the resurrection? What kind of power there is in knowing you don't die? We have eternal life. We are indestructible. Now, these bodies of flesh may go away, but Christ has saved us. And it says we're being made conformable unto his death. He's molding us and shaping us to fit in and to be satisfied with the death of Christ. So we get to give thanks to the Father because we're being qualified to be his child. He qualifies us. He makes us fit that picture. But also says that he has delivered us from the power of darkness. He's delivered us from living in sin. And over to Colossians 2, verses 13 and 14. Scripture says, "And you, being dead in your sins and the circumcision of your flesh, hath he quickened together with him, having forgiven you all trespasses, blotting out the handwriting of ordinances that was against us, which is contrary to us, and took it out of the way, nailing it to his cross." How many of the laws of God, we got 5 books of the law of God, how many of those are against you? Really? What's the scripture say? It says he took them out of the way, nailed them to the cross. So there's not a single law of God that's against you, because it's taken out of the way, covered by the blood of Jesus Christ. So we do not have the sin that's against us. We do not have to live in sin. And he delivered us from that. He's the one that took the law that was against us, nailed it to the cross, covered it with the blood of Jesus Christ, and says, "It's no longer there as far as I'm concerned." As Paul says, where there is no law, there is no transgression. When the law of God is taken out of the way, you cannot violate a law that's not there. It's been taken out because of Christ. And sometimes I get a little weirded out trying to understand why people keep pointing it at one another, at other children of God, and saying, "You're violating the law of God. You didn't meet this rule. You didn't meet this obligation." Really? Where does it say that if you're a child of God that you have to meet this or you go to hell? Now, I'm not saying that we shouldn't strive to live the life that God has called us to. What I'm saying is none of the laws of God condemn you to eternal hell when you're a child of God. When the blood of Jesus Christ has cleansed you from all sin, none of that stuff is held against you, because God sees the righteousness of Christ in you. You've been clothed in his righteousness. So he's delivered us from living in sin. And it also says in verse 13 there, he says, "And hath translated us into the kingdom of his dear son." Notice it doesn't say, and he's in the process of translating you into the kingdom. He says, it's already done. He has translated you already into the kingdom of his son. You get to live in the kingdom now. You don't have to wait. But we get to thank God because he said, "You're in the kingdom now because you're in Christ." Well, what does that look like on a day-to-day basis? Let's go to Isaiah chapter 30. One of my favorite passages, verses, Isaiah 30, verse 21. And he says, "And thine ear shall hear a word behind thee, saying, this is the way, walk ye in it, when you turn to the right hand and when you turn to the left." See, there's a path of righteousness called the narrow path that Christ has established. And we have this little battle going on in us, the battle of the flesh and the spirit. And we're walking along the path of God and, whoa, that's interesting. And so we head off in a different direction. And God's there going, "Hey, path's this way." "Oh, okay." So you turn back, get on the path, and you go along, and, "Oh, wow, that's pretty interesting. Go back this way." Okay? That's living in the kingdom now, because we've been given that guidance. We've been given the Holy Spirit. We've been given the Word of God that we may understand God. We may understand His righteousness and His holiness. So we can give thanks to the Father. He qualified us to be His child. He delivered us from living in sin, and He delivered us into the kingdom now. Then we can also give thanks to the Son for His sacrifices, verses 14 through 18. It says, in whom we have redemption through His blood, even the forgiveness of sins, who is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of every creature. For by Him were all things created that are in heaven, that are in earth, visible and invisible, whether they be thrones or dominions or principalities or powers. All things were created by Him and for Him. And He is before all things, and by Him all things consist. And He is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things He might have the preeminence. So the first thing that we have, that we can thank God for, be thankful for, is we have been redeemed by His blood. We didn't reach into our pockets and say, do you take Visa? How about American Express? God looks at that and says, yeah, keep it. I got a better value for you. The blood of my dear Son. We were redeemed by the blood of Christ. Well, when and how did that occur? Let's go over to Romans chapter 5. Verses 7 through 10. It says, for scarcely for a righteous man will one die. Yet peradventure for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God commendeth His love toward us, and that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Much more then, being now justified by His blood, we shall be saved from wrath through Him. For if, when we were enemies, we were reconciled to God by the death of His Son, much more being reconciled, we shall be saved by His life. We were enemies of God. The way I picture it is my kids playing on a playground, and we're standing there kicking God in the shins, saying, I hate you, I hate you, I hate you, I despise you. And God says, yeah, but I love you. And I'm going to send my Son to die for you. I don't care, I hate you. But I love you, God says. And this is how much. While we were enemies of God, He demonstrated His love by sending His own Son, His only Son, to shed His blood for us so that He could bring us unto Himself. Because God cannot bear to look upon sin. And yet, He sent His Son to take upon Himself our sins so that we could take upon ourselves His righteousness. Isn't that a wonderful thing to say, thank you, God. Thank you for redeeming me by Your blood. And then He goes on to talk about who the Son is. He says, who is the image of the invisible God. Well, what does that mean to be in the image of God? And what's the value of it? Let's go back over to Romans chapter 8, verses 2 through 4. It says, for the law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus hath made me free from the law of sin and death. For what the law could not do, in that it was weak through the flesh, God sending His own Son in the likeness of sinful flesh, and for sin, condemned sin in the flesh, that the righteousness of the law might be fulfilled in us, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. See, we broke the law of God in the flesh. So the only way to rescue us is for Christ, for God, to come in the flesh, be put to death for not His sins, because He was perfect, but to pay that penalty over above and beyond what our sins cost. See, our sins eternally, infinitely separate us from God. But Christ's righteousness is infinitely, infinitely pure. But he had to destroy it in the flesh so he could demonstrate and show sin has no power over righteousness. Sin has no power over the flesh of God. And in Genesis 1:26, we're not going to really go there, but what does it say about us? We've been made in the image of God. And so we carry that picture of God within us. And we belong to him. And then it also says in the scriptures that we were created by him and created for him. So I'm going to look at 1 Corinthians chapter 6, verses 19 and 20. Paul tells us, what? Know ye not that your body is the temple of the Holy Ghost, which is in you, which ye have of God, and ye are not your own? For ye are bought with a price. Therefore, glorify God in your body and in your spirit, which are God's. You're not your own, but you've been bought with a price. You know, when you work for an employer, for somebody else, you don't get to say, yeah, you want me to work, do this. I don't want to do that. I'm going to go play video games instead. You know, they've got this real cool one, and I want to play the video game. And boss says, nothing I can do. Nah, sorry. Boss says, excuse me, what do you think you're doing? I did not hire you to play Doom all day. I did not hire you to play these games. I hired you to accomplish a task. We have been bought with a price, a precious price, to accomplish a task. See, God didn't save us to just say, well, I didn't have anything better to do, so I just decided to save you because I just felt generous today. He saved you because he says, guess what? I got a job for you to do. You're mine. And you have work for me to do. One of the things is I was looking at this verse and it was talking about all things were created by him and for him. And sometimes I think of our politicians, our political leaders, and our judges and things like that. And you ever think, as unrighteous, as unholy as that all is, that we ought to thank God for him? That's a tough one, isn't it? Thank God for those? Yeah, because they're a gift from God. It's one of the most difficult things I have had to think about and contemplate is, you know, people like some of our judges or Ninth Circuit judges or some of our previous presidents, and to say, why did we have them? Because we, the people of God, need them. Many ways we've gotten lazy, complacent. But God says, fine. I'm going to do something to cause you to move out of your complacency. Cause you to move out of being comfortable and being on fire for God. Working for me again. Because you are bought with a price. And you're bought with a price so you don't just sit around. But these are all things that we get to thank God for. God paid our penalty. And we get to thank him for it. And praise him for it. So I sort of wrap all of this up in one verse. Colossians 3:15. Scriptures tell us, and let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to the which also ye are called in one body, and be ye content? No. Thankful. Be thankful in all things. Be ye thankful. So tomorrow is a day that has been set aside and throughout the entire nation and many places throughout the entire world that we get to come together and say, God, thank you for being you. Thank you for placing us in a country where we can read your word and carry the scriptures around with us without worrying about being shot. We don't have to worry about much of anything. God has blessed us abundantly. Let's pray. Father, we do thank you so very much. The Lord, you are worthy and you are precious in our sight, and we are precious in yours. And though we stumble and fall from time to time, yet you are there to pick us up, to encourage our hearts to walk with you, to serve you, Lord. Strengthen us to take our eyes off the things of this world and place them on the things of God, so that your name will be lifted up, your name praised and honored. In Jesus' name, amen.
Our song today is called More Precious Than Silver, and also has a verse from When I Survey the Wondrous Cross. And just quickly, I wanted to read the first four lines of the More Precious Than Silver. It's, Lord, you are more precious than silver. Lord, you are more costly than gold. Lord, you are more beautiful than diamonds, and nothing I desire compares with you. And we just thank God that he is exactly that. Thank you. All right. And then our next and final song is, you've heard it before, Give Thanks, and also with Now Thank We All Our God.
May the Lord bless thee and keep thee. The Lord make his face shine upon thee and be gracious unto thee. The Lord lift up his countenance upon thee and give thee peace. Amen. Amen.